Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
He's looking at you. Why?
You're expected to say things like that from the pulpit.
Yes.
On Mother's Day, Father's Day. If you didn't say things like that, somebody would fuss at you. Of course, I've been fussed at before. So. You know, over the years, I've been involved in training people. In the military, I trained those in the military under me, with me. And you are the army of God.
Amen.
You are a believer priest.
Right, man.
You have been adopted by God. You're in the family of God. You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. You need to know who you are in Christ. All that you are in Christ. Playing back there? Satan never gives up. Check, check, check. Checking, checking, checking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
For you on the board. I preach a lot of places where they didn't have a board. But I want to go back to where I started. In order to fight the good fight, and you're in a fight.
Yes, amen.
You have to understand that every day of the world, Satan is seeking to neutralize you in your walk with the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Every day of the world. And in order to combat what Satan is bringing against you day by day, you have to know your position in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is not just preacher talk.
No, sir.
This is not just preacher talk. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
This is reality. And you're in a warfare. And you'd be surprised how much of the family of God, the army of God, the believer priest, the ambassadors for Christ, you'd be surprised how many of them have been neutralized. Which is why our nation is where it is today. When you stop and realize who you are in Christ Jesus, that every morning of the world when you get up, you want everything in hell saying, "He's awake.
Hello.
She's awake. They're moving." Because you want them to take note of you, who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to put on the whole armor of God. I do every morning. Every morning of the world, I put on the whole armor of God. It's already been field tested. It was field tested by Christ.
Hello.
Himself. And I know every morning of the world when I get up, I'm going to be facing whatever hell brings against me that day. And same thing is true of you. So much and so many of God's people have been neutralized. They're really not effective for the kingdom of God because they've never really understood who they are, all they are. They've never understood that a true child of God poses a threat to hell, poses a threat to Satan. And that threat is realized on our knees in our daily walk with Christ. Our light, our example, our testimony, and our prayer life. But you have to understand this. Every day of the world when you get up is warfare. And Satan is seeking to neutralize you and neutralize your testimony. In Colossians We're in chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Raised? Raised from a life of spiritual death. Until you're born again, you're spiritually dead. Amen. That's what the Word of God teaches. When you come to Christ, you've been raised from that life of spiritual death to a life in Christ. Seek those things. That means to be actively involved. Aggressively. Day after day. Aggressively seeking God's will, God's purpose, and to accomplish God's will and God's purpose for your life that day.
Hello.
Each and every one of us are different. Mm-hmm. We have commonality, but we are different. And God has strategically placed you where He wants to use you. Submit day by day. Once again, those things which are above. Let's read it again. If then you were raised with Christ, seek. That's active. That's active. You're actively seeking those things which are above. If I were to ask you, what are you seeking that's above? What would you say? You need intimacy with God. You need close intimacy with God. You need anointing. You need the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you. Folks, this is normative Christianity.
Amen.
What I'm saying to you now is normative Christianity. Our problem is that so many Christians don't measure up to normative Christianity. When you stop and realize what he's saying here, seek aggressively. Seek the hand of God, aggressively seek the mind of God, aggressively seek the will of God. What is your will for me today? Seek Him aggressively. Those things which are above, that which is provided by Jesus, that which is provided and He is willing to provide to each and every one of us every day of our life. But we have to seek it. We have to want it. It's not a passive walk. It's an aggressive walk with God. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, we're talking about power. Now stop and listen to me. As one born again, you're in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
According to the Word of God. Have you taken your place in Christ Jesus? You see, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's available to you. This is not name it and claim it. It's believe it and receive it. Just take God at His word. Take God at His word. Believe His word. Receive His word. And just live His word. It's a fight. Every day of the world. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. Set your mind on things above. Start with eternity with Christ Jesus. Start thinking about your eternal state in the new heavens and the new earth with Christ Jesus. You got to pass through the portal of death to get there, but once you get there, you're in a position then to serve with Him going forward in the eternity with Christ Jesus. There's going to be a new heavens. There's going to be a new earth, according to the Word of God. So, then not it doesn't stop there. It starts there, but then you've got the millennial reign. You've got the millennial reign. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say the millennial reign? 2, 3, 4. Here's the millennial reign. There's going to come a time once the church fails, Once the bride of Christ fails, there's going to come a time in her failure that we're going to see the second coming of Christ. He's going to set up a millennial reign. We are going to be ruling and reigning with Him in that millennial reign. You have to understand what your future embraces, who you are. Do you realize that every day of the world, what you really want to do, every day of the world you get up, you want everything out of hell saying, look out, He's awake. He's awake.
Amen.
She's awake. They know who they are in Christ. They're putting on the whole armor of God. They're going out to meet a sin-cursed and sin-darkened world. But they're going out enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe.
Yep. Amen.
That's who you are. As one born again, but you won't find 2 in 10 that have really received and believed that truth. But every morning of the world, when you get up, you have to understand it's warfare. And Satan is going to try to neutralize you the moment you open your eyes. He wants to neutralize you. He does not want you to be who you are in Christ Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. Don't be eat up and consumed with fleshly everyday affairs of this life. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:3. For you died. Now there's our problem.
Hello.
There's our problem. Too many of us do not recognize that we've been put to death in Christ Jesus. The old sin nature, and this is so hard for some people to grasp. Let me slow down and put it to you as plainly as I can. When you were born again, if you've been born again, when you were born again, God assigned your old sin nature to the position of death. Put to death in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation according to the Word of God. You are a new creation. You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. You have access to the creative power of the universe. You've been adopted into the family of God. Once you start understanding these truths, then you pose a threat. You pose a threat to hell.
Amen.
You pose a threat to Satan. You have to understand that you are a new creation. The old sin nature, I'm going to cover this again in a moment. Your old sin nature, it takes ears to hear what I'm about to say to you. This is a spiritual truth. It took me years to really grasp the significance of what I'm about to teach you. You have to understand that when you were born again, your old sin nature was put to death. You say, well, if my old sin nature was put to death, why do I have so much trouble with sin? You live in a sin, cursed, sin, darkened world.
That's right.
Amen.
Now listen to what I'm about to say to you. In his original created state, did Adam have a sin nature?
No.
In her original created state, did Eve have a sin nature?
No, sir.
Then why do they sin?
Choice.
Free will.
Free will.
That free will. See, you don't have to sin. Any sin that you have time to think about before you do it.
Amen.
Our problem is that we're so prone to act and react so quickly and speak before we think that before we know it, we have grieved the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have quenched the Holy Spirit because we did not take the time to slow down and think about what we were going to say.
That's right.
What we were going to do. Colossians 3:3 again. For you died. Died to what? Died to self. Died to sin. Died to Satan. Listen. When you get to the bottom line of all this, you don't have to sin any sin that you have time to think about before you do it. Now you will sin enough sins that you don't think about before you do it.
Hello.
A thought, a reaction, a response, all that's part of it. But you don't have to sin because you died with Christ. The Word of God tells us you have been crucified with Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live. Yet not I, Paul says, but Christ lives in me. So we have to understand that we have been crucified with Christ. That being the case, are you ready for this? As one who's been crucified with Christ, I am dead to satanic suggestions.
Amen.
That's my position spiritually. Spiritually, I am dead, crucified with Christ, co-crucified with Christ. That's what the Word of God teaches. I have to get up every morning in the world and take my rightful place of death to self. Death to self. Alive to God through Christ Jesus. Think about what you're going to say. Think about what you're going to do. Take just a moment. Slow down. Think about it. Think about this. You have the right of refusal. You can say to Satan, I don't want that thought.
Amen.
I'm not going to entertain that thought. I'm not going to react as you have suggested I should react. I'm not going to respond the way you have suggested I should respond. I'm not going to harbor those feelings and emotions that you're suggesting to me. I'm dead. I'm co-crucified with Christ. I'm going to take my rightful place of death to self. I'm going to take Big I off the throne of my life. And I'm going to enthrone Christ Jesus on the throne of my life. Folks, it's a moment-by-moment thing. It's some days. Some days it is a moment-by-moment thing. But you see, I can either make a decision to refuse the suggestion of Satan or accept the suggestion of Satan. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not important enough for Satan to take personal notice of me, nor are you. But there's a world full of demons out there. There's a world full of unclean spirits that we're up against every day according to the Word of God. A lot of pulpits won't teach that, but it's the Word of God. We just take the Word of God as it is. So, if I accept the satanic suggestion, that means I'm willing to accept the consequences that come with that satanic suggestion. Did you hear me? If I'm going to accept the suggestion that Satan is making to me, I've got to be willing to accept the consequences of that suggestion. One of the first things I'm going to face is a loss of peace. You know when you've grieved the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You know when you have quenched the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to have a loss of peace. If I have a loss of peace, I'm going to have a loss of joy. I want a joy-filled life.
Amen.
And every time you give in to the temptation, every time you submit and surrender to the temptation, you're putting your joy at risk. Because you can't walk in rebellion and joy at the same time.
Nope.
One or the other. So you lose your joy. But then there's the loss of witness. You can blow your witness. You can spend years building a witness and blow it in 10 seconds. I'll never forget, I was trying to figure the whole thing out. I was trying my best to figure the whole thing out. And I was in the home of a deacon in our church. He was a plumber. And he got a call from somebody who was in the know that the sheriff was going to put a notice on his business door the next day, which would shut him out. So he's rushing down there, and I went with him just watching what was going on, trying to help if I could. He was trying to move all of his equipment out of his shop before they could put the notice on the door. But there was a bothersome kind of guy in the neighborhood, and he come around and he kept making suggestions and asking questions and making suggestions and asking questions. And finally, this deacon that I respected had had it. And he picked up a wrench. And I won't repeat what he said, but he put the guy on notice. This is what I think of you. This is what you are. And if you open your mouth one more time, I'll bust your head open with this wrench. I'm trying to come in out of the cold. And this is a deacon in the church. This is a man I respected. You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there. You've been there when you blew your testimony. You didn't see it coming, didn't know what was going to happen, but you blew your testimony. You see, at that point in time, right there, he wiped out everything that I had thought of him. I was trying to learn from him. I'm trying to get things sorted out in my own life. You got people around you doing the same thing.
Yes.
You've got people that will just stand and quietly listen to your conversation. Without saying a word, they'll watch to see how you respond, how you react. Because they're in a learning curve. And they're trying to learn from you. Don't let them down. Got to be sensitive all the time. I've got people watching. I've got people listening. I've got to be careful. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. You've been co-crucified. As one born again, you've been co-crucified with Christ Jesus. Satan left his phone number, though. Did you hear me? When Satan left, he left his phone number. You can dial him up anytime you want to. Besides, he's always at the door knocking. He's always at the door of your reason, the door of your practices, the door of your habits, the door of your thinking. He is always, not he himself, but unclean spirits, demons, are always seeking to gain an advantage, always seeking to gain entrance. Every day of the world, this is going on in your life. Seeking an entrance of some kind. I will never, and I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again because I think it bears repeating. I'll never forget the time when I was coming to grips with all this in the ministry. I said, you know, who needs demons? Africa's got demons. We don't need demons. But I was having to deal with a guy, a Roman Catholic, that got saved on his knees with me. I witnessed to him. And now I had some 21 months to see him set free. And in the deliverance session I was in at one time, I asked the unclean spirit in him, I said, what is your mission in this man's life? Now here's what the unclean spirit said. My job is to get the ball rolling. Get the ball rolling. What do you mean by get the ball rolling? Incidentally, this is all scriptural, everything I'm saying to you. His job was to get the guy aggravated to the point he would take the first drink. Because once he took the first drink, he didn't quit till he had all the drinks he could handle. So understand this, in the spirit realm, if you go to 6th chapter of Ephesians, you can read this for yourself, principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, they are ranked. The demonic world is ranked, and Satan doesn't waste his assets. If he can stop you, cripple you, if he can some way neutralize you with a lesser spirit, that's what he's going to use. So what you've got to do is you've got to say, well, I want to pose big enough a threat to Satan and to hell that he has to use a more powerful unclean spirit against me. You say, I'm not sure I want that. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You want some respect in hell.
Hello.
For them to respect who you are, all you are, and what you are. So, they're always knocking on the door of your mind. You will never live a day. Listen to me. You will never live a day that unclean spirits are not trying to gain access to your thinking, reactions, and responses.
Right.
The question is, are you sensitive enough to know what's occurring? Was that thought from the Holy Spirit? Or was that from another source? Was that reaction a result of the Holy Spirit in my life, or was it another source? Was that response the reaction of the Holy Spirit, or was another source? You've got to be sensitive to that. Now, 3:4, Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That is your future.
Amen.
With your last heartbeat, goodbye sin, curse, sin, darkened, nasty world. Hello, glory.
Amen.
And once you get there, you wouldn't come back here anyway.
No, sir.
You wouldn't come back here once you get there. So, you have to understand your future as a believer priest. Yes, you're going to die, but you're going to be resurrected in a glorified body. Slow down and listen to me. You're going to be resurrected in a glorified body that will never know pain,
Amen.
Sickness, injury, Amen. Disease, none of the stuff that we put up with now. You will never experience that in your resurrected body.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only that, but you're going to have a 1,000-year reign with Christ Jesus. Ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus over unredeemed mankind. Ruling and reigning with Him. Now the results of that 1,000-year reign is that at the end of that 1,000-year reign, those who have rejected and opposed Christ will be separated eternally. Those who submitted and surrendered. Now let me slow down. I'm going to get deep on you for just a moment. Stop and think. Now follow me. Track me carefully here. God created Adam and Eve. Sinless. And until they sinned, they were sinless.
Yep.
Then, when they sinned, they got the sin nature.
Right.
They passed the sin nature on to their posterity. Sin gained access to the world. Sin, Satan gained access to the human race through Adam and Eve. You were born with a sin nature. And it didn't take you all that long to reveal that you had a sin nature, because even as a child you would lie. You would lie. So the sin nature is prevalent and it's there at birth. Now, we're going to reach a point in time when there will be no more human beings with sin nature. Listen, do you think God is ever going to lose a battle?
No.
God created perfect man, perfect earth, perfect universe. All of that was perfect. No sin anywhere. Satan was bound in all of that. Once you realize that God is going to take it right back where He started, He is going to end up at the end of that 1,000-year reign, when He puts the final end on everything, He's going to have perfect humanity, sinless humanity, on a sinless planet, sinless earth, and we will be ruling and reigning with Him over sinless humanity.
Amen.
That's the future.
Yes.
I'm going to be ruling and reigning. Now, I've told the Lord, give me a little cabin off in the corner of glory. That'd be okay with me. Just give me a little cabin off in the corner of glory. That'll be fine with me. Now, I'll just supervise one or two people, it's okay with me. But I'm going to be with Him, and I'm going to be ruling and reigning with Him according to the Word of God. So, going forward into eternity, then we're going to rule and reign for eternity over a redeemed humanity. Freddie, you have trouble believing that, don't you? Most of us do. We say, wait a minute. I'm going to be ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus over redeemed humanity in a sinless universe? I didn't write it, I just teach it. I didn't write it. I just teach it. That's what the Word of God tells us. Going further with it, Colossians 3:5. Therefore, he says, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Every member of the believer's body. He says, put to death everything in your life that's unchristlike. You have to make it a conscious decision. Put it to death. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, the members of the body. And what are they involved in? Well, fornication. What is fornication? All ungodly sexual activity, no exceptions. No exceptions. All ungodly sexual activity with no exceptions.
Amen.
And you can start your own religious practice. You can form your own church and say, well, we don't condemn that just because God condemns it. We don't condemn it. That won't get it done.
No.
Nope. Uncleanness. That means the fleshly instruments of lust. When the Word of God talks about uncleanness, he is talking about the fleshly instruments of lust. Of lust. Everything that's involved in lust. That can include the imagination. To imagine, it's amazing what the imagination will do. Just turn it loose and see where it goes. Ungodly lifestyles, ungodly desires. Now, why am I bringing this out to this congregation? You're salt. You're light in the midst of all this.
Amen.
This is what you are soaked in, surrounded with every day.
Yep.
Every day you're facing this. And yet you're to walk into this sin-infested, sin-soaked community. Light, salt, testimony, witness, that's your job. That's my job. And your group may be a small group. It may consist of only 5 or 10 people, 3 or 4 people. But you may be the only one in that group that's salt and light. Be that salt and be that light. Uncleanness, that can include the imagination. Have you ever filtered your thought life? What you think about? Who you think about? Ungodly desires? Ungodly lifestyle? All that's involved in this. Do you have any ungodly desires? If so, have you identified them? Let me encourage you now. This is tough, and I didn't mean to go this deep with it, but I'm there, so I may as well go. I would never have saved someone like me. Had I been God, I would never have saved anybody like me. And I dare say that some people in here would say the same thing. Had I been God, I would not have saved anybody like me. But he takes the worst of the lot.
Yes.
He takes the worst of the lot, adopts them into his family, indwells them with his Holy Spirit, and then starts the process through which, and we come through about 5 to 6 different levels of sanctification. Listen to me carefully. We must come through about 5 to 6 different levels of sanctification. I keep bringing this up in here because I don't want you to spend wasted years that I spend not understanding this. When you understand that you came into the family of God as a spiritual infant, diapers,
yes,
a spiritual infant, and you messed up everything. One way or the other from time to time. But now you have to come through these different levels of sanctification. You have to come from infancy to small childhood to adolescence to teenager to young adult, then some maturity. You can't bypass a one.
No.
No.
You cannot bypass one single level of sanctification. Now you may remain at the same level of sanctification for years until God says that's enough. I've now got to allow something into your life that will shake you to the core, that will get your attention. How many of us have been there? When God said, well, I've got to shake you to the core. Because you've been stalemated, you've been at this level for so long, now we need to move you further. It's coming, folks. Learn from somebody with scar tissue, okay? Yes. Submit and surrender.
Amen.
Just go ahead and submit and surrender and save yourself a lot of grief. Yeah. Say, here am I, Lord. Burn me out. Burn out, purge out. Get rid of the stuff that's there that shouldn't be there. My attitudes, my actions, my reactions, whatever it may be. Get it out. I submit and I surrender. Passion, ungodly passions, ungodly, unholy desire. It may be nothing more than a nicer car. You have to gauge your passions. Do you ever sit down and say, okay, I'm going to check my passions. What is it I'm really passionate about? And does my being passionate about that interfere with my being passionate for God? Because I can't be passionate about all of it at times. Covetousness? You got to get rid of all the covetousness. That's idolatry. You've got to examine your life. Am I covetous about anything that anybody else has? Do I have a spirit of covetousness about me? If so, I've got to recognize that as sin. Confess him. 3:6. Because of these things that we just named, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of those things in the life, for this reason, his wrath is coming, and rightly so. His wrath is coming. He understands this. God created man with free will. Yes. We came, he created man with free will and only had one prohibition. Only one. That tree. And he violated that. Man violated the one prohibition that God put on him. And by doing that, he set in motion a series of life and lifestyle by which we are up against unclean spirits every day of the world.
Amen.
It's a battle. That's why we put on the whole armor of God every day of the world. That's why we submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ every day of the world. Because that one act of disobedience set in motion, but it also set in motion that whereby sinful man could be reconciled to holy God through Christ Jesus. All of that was involved in that first initial sin. The plan was unfolding. God had a plan. God was working his plan. We have to understand you're part of that plan as one who's been born again. The believer, listen to me carefully. As a believer priest, I don't have to sin any sin I have time to think about before I do it. As a believer priest, as an ambassador for Christ, as a child of God, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the creative power of the universe, I do not have to sin a single sin that I have time to think about before I do it.
Amen. Right.
But how many times do we know this attitude is not Christ-like, but we don't do anything about it?
Yeah.
This action that I'm planning is not Christ-like, but we still go ahead and do it. Because we don't take the time to slow down and go before the throne of God saying, The idea is unchristlike. The attitude is unchristlike. The action is unchristlike. The reaction is unchristlike. And I'm confessing it as sin. Now forsaken. You don't have to sin any sin that you have time to think about before you do it. I'm responsible and accountable for my unconfessed sin, as are you. I'm responsible for the unconfessed sin in my life. When you become sin conscious, and I don't think you can be Christ conscious without being sin conscious. I'm indwelt by Christ. I'm enabled by Christ. I'm empowered by Christ. I'm to have the mind of Christ. I'm to die to self. And that being the case, I've got to be sensitive now to those things that Satan is suggesting as a course of action, whatever it may be. Christ can say, I paid for you. Christ can say to each one of us, I paid for that sin on the cross. All you've got to do is acknowledge it and confess it. You know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying to you that you can walk in all the fullness of the Spirit you want to walk in.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you that you can walk in all the Christ-likeness you choose to walk in. But it has to be a conscious decision, day by day by day. Lack of spiritual sensitivity is a problem. I don't want to lose spiritual sensitivity. You'd be surprised how many times you start to speak, and the Spirit of God says, no, you don't speak to that issue. You don't speak your mind. Quiet. Be quiet. You have to develop spiritual sensitivity. And you need to be praying, Lord, help me develop spiritual sensitivity. God is patient. I'm living proof God is patient. I am living proof that God is patient. Colossians 3:7. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He's saying to the church, all this stuff, this ugly, nasty, filthy sin that I just got through talking about, you used to walk in it. And some of the church is still walking in some of it. It's called sanctification. But you see, we all had a sinful past. Turn to somebody and say, I got a sinful past. And some of us can say, it's nothing to brag about. But some of us can say, well, my sinful past was more sinful than your sinful past.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
So that's not the kind of thing to brag about. But the fact is, we have people sitting in church who did not sin all the sins that some of us sin and did not embrace all the sins that some of us sin, but we all sinned.
Amen.
Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Now look at what you're to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Attitudes that sometimes are expressed not only in words, but in actions. Sometimes our ungodly attitudes are expressed in more than words. Actions, reactions. It happens in the home. Happens in the office. Can happen anywhere. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie. Lying is sin. He's talking to the church. And he's saying to the church, don't lie to one another. But you know, lying can happen so quickly. Lying can happen so easily. You just respond or react. And in so doing, you lie. I think sometimes we lie flippantly. Unless we become really, really sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if we're not careful, we can lie just flippantly, so easily, so quickly. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. I die daily. That's what Paul said. He said, I get up every morning of the world and I consider myself dead. Dead to sin, alive to God. Colossians 3:10, and I have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I, you, we, as being born again, are a new creation in Christ Jesus. A new creation. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us right now. We will in time. But we are a new creation. Now, as a new creation, what we need to do is daily die to self. Daily die to self. I don't have to respond like that. I don't have to react like that. I don't have to be a part of that. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Regardless of everything else going on in your life, Christ is all you need.
Amen.
Christ is all in all. Now here's the key. It is as we reject and refuse the suggestions to Satan to our mind that we become increasingly Christ-like. And that's the goal. The goal is to become increasingly Christ-like in the nasty here and now. By who we are, what we respond to, what we don't respond to, the way we respond, the way we react, we have to become increasingly Christ-like. How do we do that? Through submission and obedience. Through submission and obedience. As we're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You, as one born again, are indwelt by the creative power of the universe. He is willing and he wants to enable you, to empower you, to stand against anything and everything that all hell brings against you. He will and he can, but you've got to desire it. It's called becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, Father, it can go so much deeper, but that's as far as I think I can take it at this time. But Lord God, help us, I pray, each and every one of us, day by day, to submit and surrender, to know who we are in Christ Jesus, to take our rightful place in death to self, alive to God, in Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of you, God the Father, which gives us priority and precedence over everything out of hell.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, help us receive the truth, believe the truth, walk in the truth, and walk out who we are and all we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Quinn, when we get through singing, won't you come up here and close us with prayer? Right now we're going to sing a closing song.
Sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, Lord, to save the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength with thine own hands. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for that word this morning, Father.
Yes.
Father, you are a patient God, as Bob said, Father God, and I am also a living testimony of that, Father. You have walked me through things, Father God, that I thought I could just defeat on my own, Father God, being a man, and that knucklehead ego of mine, Father God. And you've shown me a way, Father God, to live a life of Christ means to be that person that loves people, Father God, as you loved us. And Father, to put things, Father God, that means so much to me, Father God, in front of you, Father God, is such a sin. And Father, this is a good reminder of this word today, Father God. There's nothing more important in our lives than living our life for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Who took the burden of my sin upon him, Father God. A man that committed no sin, Father God, that loved me with all his heart, all his soul, all his body, broken and beaten, humiliated, spat upon, Father God, cursed. And yet, Father God, he loved us and bled for us. So that our sins died with him, Father God. This is a good reminder, Lord Jesus Christ, for us to open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to you, Father God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Purge us and clean us, Father, for anything in my life, Father God, that I worship more than you, Father. Take it away, Father. Show me, Father God. Not just forgive me for all my sins, Father God, but show me my sins, Father God. Yes. I want to confess them to you and get them out of my life, Father God.
Amen.
I want to walk that walk with you, Father God, that joyful life. Father, so many people walk around angry and mad and Father, just hate everything and everybody. And I'm one of them, Father. There are times, Father God, I just don't like people. And Father, that's not Christ. That's Quinn. And I ask for forgiveness for that this day, Father God. We can live such joyful lives by living that life of Christ and showing
right.
the mercy and the grace and the peace and the loveliness, Father God, of Jesus Christ to other people, whether they're gay or whatever color they are, Father God, where they come from, Jesus Christ did not care. Father, he loved us all. He did not want one person to perish, Father God. That's what the Word tells us. And Father, so I just ask, Father, that you'll bless this United States of America, Father God. Father God, I pray every demon out of hell, Father God, will be awakened, Father God, when the revival, Father God, that you're going to, Father God, is our prayer, released in this United States of America, Father God. They'll shake in their boots, Father. And Father, that this country will get on its knees and repent, Father God, and be the country that the world sees that is Christ-like. And Father God, I just thank you for this day. Bless all the mothers out there, Father God.
Amen.
I thank you that my wife has been a mother to our kids and a wife to me, Father God, that's been unsurpassed. And that's because, Father God, you put her in my life.
Amen.
And I thank you for that. So bless us as we go, Father God. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Let me send you out the door with a word of encouragement.
Amen.
It's a process. It's a process. You came to the world as an infant, have to come through the stages of physical growth. Same thing is true when you're born again. You come into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. A lot of growing to take place. Enjoy the trip.
Amen.
One question. The process of sanctification has to be there.
Yes.
Regardless. But there are probably instances like the thief and the cross that he had an immediate process of sanctification. So can we say the process can be a short process?
No, you're not on the cross.
Hello.
You're not looking death in the face. You're looking life in the face. And you got to come through the different levels. The thief on the cross, you had people in Pearl Harbor. When the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941, I'll promise you, you had men dying in a battleship crying out to God in the last moments of their life.
Amen.
And were received into glory. But we got to come through the process.
And the process can be an instant process because you can die.
No, you can be saved in an instant, but sanctification goes on till you go to glory. You've got five different levels of spiritual sanctification growth.
I know that. What I'm trying to say is that process can be made short. By the immediacy of our death, it could be untimely death.
Well, yeah, if you die before you...
But you still have to go through that process in that short...
If you die physically...
You don't need it.
Then you don't need it. But as long as you're on this earth, in this body, you need it.
Amen.
And you can't escape one single process.
And we need them all.
Well, the thief on the cross did not go through sanctification.
Nope, he died right there.
Right.
Now, if you die right there, you wouldn't have to go through the sanctification either.
Yeah, but maybe that process of dying could be a sanctification tool in the hands of God. Some people die untimely, like you were saying.
Sanctification means I'm becoming increasingly Christ-like. You can't become increasingly Christ-like when you die.
But you can be increasing, but you can go through a process of pain and suffering while you're dying. And God will use that to sanctify you?
Sometimes God will use that to soften you up.
Could that be sanctification?
Well, not really. No, that's just realization.
But that could change you. That process can change you.
But if you're dying, what difference does it make? Yeah.
Well, the process of dying can be a process, not instant. It can be a process.
Yes,
sanctification is a process. You can't avoid it. Sanctification is a process for the believer, and the believer cannot avoid it.
May I say this? We need to become more Christ-like as we get older.
Yes.
But if we die, that's irrelevant because we're already in heaven.
That's it.
So the sanctification is not a requisite to...
No, being born again is the requisite to go to glory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sanctification is a process if you're going to be the salt and the light, the witness down here.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
What?
Okay, please. So I think what she's asking maybe, and for me too.
I got to hear this. What now?
So people can enter heaven at different levels of sanctification.
Sure.
Exactly. But they still, like, you might have someone who's on level one and die before they get to level two. Or you can have someone who gets to level five, but they all still enter heaven.
Yeah, once you're born again.
Yeah.
Once you're born again. Now, let me ask you this. Why does the Bible say, why die before your time?
Exactly.
Why die before your time? Just submit and surrender.
Amen.
Go eat lunch.
Amen.
Submit and surrender. That's the key to victory.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Did you survive?